Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet and Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
In 2008, Latino voters played a key role in sending Barack Obama to the White House. Will they do it again this year? I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this podcast, a midsummer snapshot of Latino voters. In the last presidential election, Latino voters responded enthusiastically to the Obama campaign slogan of Si Se Puede, or Yes We Can. And their votes in a handful of key states are widely acknowledged to have been pivotal in Obama's victory. This year, things are different. The economy is still in recovery mode, and President Obama has not fulfilled his promise to bring about comprehensive immigration reform. Joining us on the phone from her office in Texas is Sylvia Manzano, a senior analyst with the polling firm Latino Decisions. Sylvia, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sylvia, can President Obama count on the same level of support from Latino voters that he received in 2008?
I think the margin of support will likely be similar. So right now, our polling is showing about 70% to 72% of Latino voters indicate that they would vote for him, and only 20 to 22% indicate they would vote for Mitt Romney. The difference will be turnout.
Now, in your polling, you do kind of an enthusiasm index of Latino voters, their interest in the campaign and their likelihood of getting involved. What is that showing you?
Latino voters are less enthusiastic about President Obama relative to 2008. I will say, though, that those numbers that we had been tracking since 2008, enthusiasm about him had dropped off as I think people were waiting to see some change on immigration policy. But those numbers started to dissipate, so enthusiasm dipped, but then it went back up this summer after the deferred action announcement and then after the SB 1070 announcement. He has erased a significant part of the enthusiasm deficit that he had experienced. But there's always that variable that, you know, just because people tell pollsters that they are feeling enthusiastic about his election or are supporting the kinds of policy moves he's making doesn't mean that they're going to show up on election day. And so that still remains a question.
So let me ask you about deferred action, which takes effect this month. People can start to apply for deferred action status this month. Is that potentially going to give the president another boost that the applications can actually start to flow in for people to stay in this country legally?
I think that's harder to say. I'm not sure that it's the actual bureaucratic implementation that gave him the boost so much as it was the fact that he finally made a decision to act on the policy. And it is a pretty narrow set of terms. But even so, that action was seen as a gesture of goodwill. A potential real downside to it would be if it's a mess, if it doesn't work out, if there are lots of computer glitches and people are not able to process their paperwork or their files or whatever the case might be. I mean, that's a potential problem if that winds up taking the headlines on that issue. But other than that, if things go smoothly, I'm not sure that there's a big boost unless his campaign does something to sort of mobilize or advertise around it, perhaps.
Now, we're talking about immigration policy and immigration reform. Your company, Latino Decisions, recently did a poll showing that the number one issue for Latinos is the economy. And this must be good news for Mitt Romney and the Republicans, since Romney has built his campaign around criticism of the president's handling of the economy?
Not necessarily. Latinos do say that the economy is the most important issue, and in the past couple of years, it's vacillated back and forth between the economy and immigration. But when we probe a little further and ask people, what do you think are the best solutions to address either the deficit or unemployment, Latinos, by and large, support addressing the economy in ways that Democrats support as opposed to Republicans. So,
such as what?
Higher taxes on the wealthy, government investment, increased government spending. There's not a lot of support for tax cuts, particularly on social services. Latinos, 83%, are much more comfortable saying a combination of tax cuts and increased taxes on the wealthy. 46% think that there should be increased taxes on the wealthy. Yes, the economy is not a good issue for Obama, but if you start talking about, well, what is the way we're going to go about solving or addressing the economy, if we get into those intricacies, there's not as much overlap between where most Latino voters are and where Republicans are right now.
So you said that the economy and immigration have kind of traded places over the past several months as the number one priority for Latino voters. Mm-hmm. Do they track with one another?
The economy and immigration can be tied, can be linked for lots of Latino voters or not, such that, you know, policies in Arizona or in Georgia and Alabama that are meant to address the economy, Arizona and Alabama and Georgia in particular have reported, right, a number of economic losses as a function of these new policies. So small businesses closing, services businesses where a large share of their customers might be undocumented or just feel afraid to be out and about. So there's lots of stories of these smaller businesses closing. There's also stories about a smaller tax base. So as people leave, the number of units that were being rented in an apartment or the number of homes being rented has declined. There are economic impacts to driving out a community, right? So is the economy or immigration more important? Well, it could very well be that their immediate assessment about what's going on in their community or in their state are inextricably linked.
As we said at the top, in 2008, Latino voters in a few key states made the difference for Obama. And again this year, your company is tracking the Latino vote in five states: Nevada, Colorado, Arizona, Virginia, and Florida. Why these states, and do they reflect the national trend of overwhelming support for the president among Latinos?
Well, these states were selected earlier in the year, I think maybe around January, and these are states where we expect, based on a variety of different simulations, we expect and past voting trends, and also looking at what we know about the growing Latino electorate, not just looking at the past but also looking forward, we know that given the margin of victory difference between the two candidates and the potential Latino share in the electorate and prior Latino turnout in the electorate, we knew that Latinos could potentially turn the outcome in these key swing states.
Do these states track with the national trends that you're seeing of heavy Latino support for Obama and lack of enthusiasm for Romney?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And in some states, it's a little bit stronger or more lopsided than others. For example, perhaps not surprisingly, support for President Obama is much stronger in Arizona than it is in Florida. So Arizona Latinos in particular have been really the center of racialized party politics over, you know, the last 2.5 years. And in Florida, we know that there is a stronger Latino Republican base. But even so, that said, even in Florida, the president is ahead of Governor Romney. Among Latino voters, the president is ahead about 70% to 25%. Those margins vary somewhat at the state level, but he's still running pretty strongly ahead of him.
Let's talk briefly about a state that is not on your list, Texas. As you pointed out in a recent article on the Latino Decisions website, Texas is home to two rising Latino political stars, U.S. Senate candidate Ted Cruz, who is a Republican, and San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro, who will deliver the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention. What do these two guys represent in terms of Latino political power and influence today?
Both Julian Castro and Ted Cruz do signal where the future of American politics is going. They point to the national demography, right? There will be more Latino Republicans and there will be more Latino Democrats because there will be more Latinos, period, right? The law of large numbers is going to make that happen. And the fact that both parties have these very high-profile figures coming out of Texas, which has not been particularly competitive, I think is a real signal to the growing strength of the Latino electorate or even the Latino consumer.
So does that mean that states like Texas, well, there is no state like Texas, but states including Texas that have not been competitive in the past may actually change their nature because of the growth of the Latino electorate?
I think that's correct, but I would caution against this question that I frequently get is, when is Texas going to turn blue? And I think the better question is, when is Texas going to turn pink? Any sort of ideological or partisan change is going to happen slowly, so it's more likely that we would see a more moderated version of the Republican Party than we would see a swift and sharp shift to a strong Democratic state.
Are there other states where a similar dynamic is developing?
I think you might see some of that in New Mexico, where Latinos might be a little bit more, say, ideologically moderate. They might vote for Democrats, but they would be more moderate Democrats, or they might vote for a more liberal Republican. Arizona is more likely poised to follow more of the California model of Latinos eventually turning that state blue over time. There's no other state with such a large Latino population that is so lopsided in the Republican favor like Texas is.
Well, Sylvia, I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Sylvia Manzano is a senior analyst with the polling firm Latino Decisions. The Feet in Two Worlds podcast is produced by Jocelyn Gonzalez. Our engineer is Chad Bernhardt at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Special thanks and good luck to our departing intern, Justin Mitchell. For more stories by and about immigrants, visit our website, fi2w.org. Thanks for listening. I'm John Rudolph.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation,
with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and WNYC, New York Public Radio.
This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV.
Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web.
We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or using the Stitcher Smart Radio app.
You can help by going to fi2w.org and clicking on the support button at the top of the page.